drivers battle for NASCAR's ultimate prize, but only one will be called champion.
And there's the gap between one and two. Kyle Busch. And here comes Larson. Larson to the bottom of the track.
Under the lights of the nighttime sky on the beaches of Miami, Florida.
Miami, Florida.
Time to put your armor on. Tighten those seatbelts, because we're about to go three wide on the track.
Kurt Busch right up in front of the 42. Now he moves out of the way.
Three Wide NASCAR Podcast with ET3 starts right now. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's good, boys and girls? It is getting closer to Miami. We're that close. One more weekend until we decide who's going to be running for the championships in all three divisions. Welcome to the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast with ET3. That is me, Eddie Greer III, here on this November evening, Tuesday, November 6, 2018. As usual, Big D hanging out with me in the EG3 garage, doing his thing, producing this podcast. Welcome into another edition of the post-race edition of this podcast. We're going to go talk a jam-packed hour tonight, and we're going to shoot for an hour tonight talking Texas. Oh man, two out of three races got crazy real quick, while the cut playoff race, in my opinion, was not a good one. It was on my end of the court. It was definitely stressful with the situation that was going on. We're gonna get to all that here in this jam-packed playoff post race edition of this podcast. We got so much to get into. Let's just dive on in it right now. Well, you know what it is. It is time for the Fresh from the Press, like we usually do, open up this podcast. And Carl Edwards, my man, Carl Edwards, made his return to Texas Motor Speedway. Not to race, obviously, but he was inducted into the Texas Motor Speedway Hall of Fame. Obviously, Edwards a multi-winner at this racetrack. And we've seen Edwards here and there, here in the course of 2018, making appearances here and there. Obviously, has no desire to drive a race car still. And, yeah, it's what has been 2 years, something like that, Big D? Yeah, 2 years, almost 2 years, really, that he called his surprising retirement before Daytona of last year. Edwards made his rounds, seeing NASCAR media, drivers, and all that fun jazz. And of course, he's been doing some fun stuff on his own end as well, enjoying what he's doing right now. But the one thing he does miss about NASCAR is the challenge of getting up on the wheel and driving weekly. Summarizing that up, but yeah, man. Looking back at this weekend, yeah, I miss Carl Edwards, man. He obviously knew how to drive a race car, won a ton of races, and obviously the question that I've been thinking about all weekend long is if he had closed the deal in Miami a couple years ago, would he be still racing? And I've posed this comment or this question on this podcast numerous times, and I'm going to say it again. If Carl Edwards, who had clearly the best handling race car 2 years ago in that championship four race between he, Kyle Busch, Jimmy Johnson, and Joey Logano. That was Joey Logano, by the way. That was Joey Logano's last appearance in a championship four. Obviously, he's locked in to the final four next week in Miami. Those two tangled up. Logano somehow finished second with all that damage. But Edwards, he was toast after that. And who knows? If Edwards, Logano, don't get into it or whatever, I think he'd still be racing right now. That's just my opinion. But we missed the backflips and all the other stuff. You know, Jeff Gluck, part of his 12 questions this year, is posed with Carl Edwards. Not pitcher style, but about Carl Edwards in his post-celebration antics with a famous backflip that we've seen multiple years up until last season, where Carl Edwards has said, oh, I'm done, man. I'm not going to race no more. So, yeah, I missed that. And I've been thinking about that a lot. You know, seeing Carl Edwards with multiple people, talking with everybody. And see, he's just doing his own thing, enjoying what he's doing, and retiring at an early age, wants to do it his own way. And that's, he's going about his business. But Texas honored him into the Hall of Fame for his success at Texas Motor Speedway. And yeah, Big D, you talk about an impact driver. Well, Carl Edwards is that, or was that guy. Roush Fenway Racing, or back in Carl's days, was Roush Racing, did his thing. You know, went on to the, splashed on the scene on Jimmy Johnson in Atlanta, that photo finish. And then he also, what's not, you know, we talk about, I talk about all the time, the incident with Logano a couple years ago in the Final Four race. You got to go back a couple years, even before then, with a tiebreaker on Tony Stewart. Carl Edwards going into that thing, I think, was 3 points ahead of Tony Stewart in that famous championship battle. Went down all the way down to the wire, and Tony Stewart won the race and won a tiebreaker, won the championship, obviously, with the highest finish right there. So this is what we're seeing right now with you win the race to win the championship. We've seen that all, was it 3 or 4 years now? Obviously, including last year. So yeah, man, definitely he's one of those guys that impacts a race for sure with his crazy moves and all that other stuff. But yeah, Carl Edwards inducted into the Texas Motor Speedway Hall of Fame over the weekend. So congratulations to Carl Edwards, doing things his way now. And his answer is still the same. Says, hell no, I'm not going to drive no more. So that's a talented driver out doing his own thing. Obviously, Casey Kane, due to the dehydration issues, will not be racing after the, well, is out pretty much. So, excuse me. We're going to be missing some marquee drivers here. And it's those that step up to the plate from here and get the job done. And speaking of stepping to the plate, we go transition to quarter number one on my rundown list, the Camping World Truck Series. Oh my goodness. We were on last week previewing, making picks for the Texas weekend. And when we shut this thing down, oh my goodness, we thought Todd Gilliland was going to make an upset on the splash onto the scene and win his first race in NASCAR. It turns out, well, let's run out of gas half lap away. And Justin Haley, like he did early in his playoffs, and capitalizing on Ty Gilliland and Noah Gregson's episode in Canada, Justin Haley from second wins the race. And on, give me a ticket to hand to Justin Haley. He is going to the Final Four, Championship Four, in a Camping World Truck Series race. And Big D, you look right at me when Haley crossed that line. I hate to say I told you so, but usually my picks don't go my way. But for some reason, the last couple weeks, I've been doing really good. And the dark horse that is, he admitted it in one of his post-race interviews, Justin Haley, he was fast. And what I've been playing catch up on some of these podcasts here, and PETM podcast I was listening to, Sherwin was talking about, you know, fast car doesn't always win, all right? Fastest truck, fast car don't win, all right? And this case here, in order to do that, you got to put yourself in the right spot. You run a top 10, possibly late in the race, you know. You could possibly get up to the top five if mistakes happen. Usually it does. We've seen it all. We see it almost every week. And you're on the top five. Hey, maybe something happens here and there. You put yourself in the right position to win a race. You do that, right? Well, Justin Haley has done that in these playoffs, doing to Todd Gilliland's unfortunate expense, really. But in this case, and before we dive into Justin Haley real quick, why, you know, with a 3.5 second lead for Todd Gilliland with 8 to go, I mean, they're questionable on few at what it is. I mean, you got to question the crew chief on this instance here. Was your math right on the few game? I mean, FS1 was talking about gas mileage and all that other stuff. Grant Imbinger had a few issue also. That cost him an opportunity for a good finish. So it cost Thor Sport Racing altogether with the 98. And, of course, Matt Crafton, a lot of work to do. If one of those cars, well, the reality is, one of those cars, well, both of them could be out of the championship four unless something wacky happens in Arizona on Friday night. But you got to question that with a lead like that. I just wonder. I can't Monday night crew chief or whatever. But why did the crew chief here? I mean, we didn't watch the entire sequence. We just hopped on with 25 laps to go. We saw Gillen was like, damn, he's going to take this thing home. And then Gillen and the engine goes sour and whatnot. And, oh gosh, he's running out of gas. Here comes Justin Haley from 2 seconds back to score the win. And that's Haley's third win. But to finish up with Todd Gillen ran a hell of a race. And obviously, the frustration out of that truck, very frustrated, and Father David gave him a hug afterwards, but damn, you gotta feel sorry for the guy, but it goes back to the crew chief, really. You know, you do all you can, but with a lead like that, you know, half a lap short from getting to the finish, you would have thought, like, hey, let's just cool off a little bit, let's not run as hard with a lead like that, maybe save just a little bit more. And he goes to the finish line, but instead runs out of gas. And this is not the first time we've seen this type of finish. Chicagoland with John Hunter Nemechek leading, runs out of gas, or whatever the hell it was. I pretty much think it was running out of gas situation. And Brett Moffitt capitalized on that situation in the regular season here. Oh, goodness. Todd Gillen should probably have 2 wins by now. Probably 3. If you go back to Michigan, because he was a very much in contention for that race there. Couldn't get it done. So, Todd Gillen finishing races, unfortunately, on a bad end, on outside circumstances, like I call it, on a 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. Oh, damn. So, very fun, very heartbreaking for him. The latest heartbreakers finishes for Todd Gillen here in 2018. Haley on the other end of that. He did lead laps though. So Justin Haley, your winner and going to the championship four, and GMS Racing has half of the spots for the championship four. So Sauter, so 50% chance next week. And I know I feel like I'm going way ahead, but we're this close to getting to Miami, and GMS Racing in the Kenworth Truck Series now has half the field. And it's obviously the other half is Brett Moffitt and Noah Gregson, who's on the cut line right now. And due to anything crazy happens here, this could be what we're looking at for the final four. And obviously the big three in a truck series race with Sauter, Moffitt, and Gregson. We got like a nickname them, the big three in the truck series this year. Now you put the dark horse in Justin Haley, which I predicted on this podcast that Justin Haley was going to make the championship four, and he has done that due to circumstances out of control. But hey, you gotta put yourself in that position to do that. This is what NASCAR is about, or the story of NASCAR. You know, the fastest truck, fastest car don't always win. You know, yeah, man, so a lot of stuff going on in this race. And speaking of Brett Moffitt finished in a third spot, which gives you your top 10 here. Haley leading 33 laps, and hey, he has a ticket to Miami. Ben Rhodes, your runner-up. Brett Moffitt third. Todd Gillen finished fourth and led total of 60 laps. I believe that was the most laps led of any driver in this race. Mike Snyder led 35 in this race, finished outside the top 10. Austin Hill, awesome job in the 02 truck, fifth, top 5 for Hill. Harrison Burton, good run for him in the 51 for KBM. Kyle Busch, Motorsports 6. Jesse Little, another great performance in that number 97 truck, 7th. Stuart Friesen, 8th. Stuart Friesen, he looked good throughout most of this race. It looked like for him, he was going to break through and get that first truck win. It couldn't happen because of mistakes, again, on pit road. The first time, Friesen with a duel with Sauter at Texas. This time, Friesen, pit team, didn't get the job done there. Matt Crafton finished 9th, playoff driver, and of course, Noah Gregson round out the top 10, also in playoff position. He led 2 laps in this one. Johnny Sauter led a lap, finished 11th. Grant Enminger, 12th. He ran out of gas late in this one as well. That's kind of your playoff rundown, your top 10 slash playoff rundown. It's when David Gillen exited out of this race earlier, by the way, Todd's dad, and he was out there playing, obviously, father role, obviously, rooting on his son, trying to get that victory. Couldn't get it done. Running out of gas. Stunning finish to the KB World Truck Series, which turns the table to the standings, heading into the newly changed up ISM Raceway. Friday night, one more race to decide who's running for the championship. Sauter and Haley locked themselves in. Moffitt and Gregson are next in line. Obviously, one of those guys wins, they're in. And it looks like, obviously, one driver is going to be locked in on points. And for Grant Enfinger and Matt Crafton, Thor Sport Racing teammates, they got some work to do and hope that something, either go out there and make aggressive strategy calls or hope that something wacky happens. And we've seen it in the truck series not too far ago. William Byron was going to be sure locked to be in the championship four. Engine goes away. So, you know, anything can happen in this case. But, yeah, Matt Crafton, a lot of work to do. And Grant Enfinger lost critical spots when running out of gas. So that's what we're looking at, to setting the stage up for Arizona on Friday night. That's when the truck series wraps up here in in the round of 8. So take a look at that. And there we go, Big D. There we go. So Lucas Oil 150 at 8:30 Eastern Time. And that means that's going to be 7:30 Central Time out west. So a truck series that keeps giving and giving. Again, 2 spots locked up. And who's going to be the other 2 spots locked up in the truck series? This is the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Let's roll along to second quarter of the Texas Rundown and this Xfinity Series playoffs. Another turn, tie of the turn continues. Stunning developments in these Xfinity Series playoffs. And all right, so Cole Custer, first off, we'll start with him. Cole Custer and Stuart Haas Racing. Big weekend for Stuart Haas Racing right now. Cole Custer rallies back, playing a little bit of a strategy game, and he wins the race. And not only that, put yourself into Homestead, folks, for an opportunity to win the championship. This is what we're talking about, obviously, with with Kyle Larson all the time. You know, Kyle Larson, you know, he's the best at Homestead, run the high side or whatever, but you got to look at Cole Custer and what he did last year. We referenced this all of the podcasts right now, and Cole Custer dominated this race last year, and now he has an opportunity to not only race for a championship, but you have to think of him as probably with the developments happening, and yes, sorry, I got to apologize, sorry, having some, a little bit of issues here. We got it all figured out now. So trying to communicate here via text with somebody right now. So, excuse me for that, I sound a little bit off right now. But, you look at what Cole Custer did last year, dominating the playoffs, dominating the homestead the way that he did. And the developments that we're seeing right now, you're talking about Christopher Bell, Justin Allgaier, the heavy favorites to win the championship, to be in the Final Four. Not only to be in the Final Four, but the two top contenders you got to deal with right now. You take a look at the way it is right now. One of them, if something crazy happens in this Xfinity Series race this weekend, then they might have a chance, but we're looking at a possible situation here that either one of them, the most likely possibility, one of them, or even not even both of them making it to the Final Four. Who would have predicted that heading into these playoffs? Everybody pretty much put them in there, including us. I mean, yeah, we don't know what's going to happen over the next 8-9 races, things like that. But now we're going to Arizona and Cole Custer. You know, with the strategy game that was played at Texas, Cole Custer had a great car, but obviously he was penalized during this race, had to go to the back, and then how the cautions played out, and then the strategy game, all of a sudden we see Cole Custer go up front and battle Tyler Reddick for the race win. I thought that was going to be worse than what it was there with the contact there. Tyler Reddick, I think, got lucky. Then it was only a tire mark on the side of that 9 car, because I thought I was going to be worse. I thought they were going to go in there and take each other out on high banks of Texas. That was what I was thinking about. But instead, Cole Custer survives the bump by Reddick. Reddick gives up the spot, and Reddick has had a solid run of 8 in the Xfinity Series playoffs, capitalizing on the misfortunes of Christopher Bell and Allgaier. And Cole Custer, ladies and gentlemen, wins the race and give him a ticket to Miami, where he's going to race for a championship. Not only that, but I think if this way plays out right now, he's probably going to be the favorite in Miami. I hate to say that this early, but he is, if not the favorite to win, unless Christopher Bell steps up to the plate and steps up to the plate and does what he has to do, is win the race. And so he does what he has to do to win. And that's why, you know, you got to think about what it is you have to do to get a job done. It's all about Miami, and that's what you have to do. So we look at that and say, oh man, that is great information right there. But other than that, you know, you take a look at the situation here. Justin Allgaier did rally to finish in the top 5, but Christopher Bell, for the second consecutive race, turns on lap 1 and spins. Well, back at Kansas, Allgaier gets into Bell. He spins, triggers a wreck. Allgaier triggers that big wreck. And here, Bell, on the open lap here for the second consecutive race in this round, goes around. Rough afternoon for Christopher Bell. And then, Austin Cindric makes it life tough on Bell and gets in the Bell. Can't hang on to his car. Bell goes around and makes some car contact, which pretty much ends his day right there in the books. So you got to look at that situation and say, you know, that is a bad situation right there. So Bell, another dismal finish, and I don't know where, how many markers he is, but yeah, Bell, I think, is a must-win situation, obviously, in this place here. And there's a lot of things going on. Elliott Salo was up there as well. Daniel Hemric, winner of stage number 1 in this race. And looking for, I believe, Cole Custer won stage 2. Yes, he did. So Hemric, another stage 1 by him. and then Cole Custer winning stage two and then winning the race as well. So there it is right there. Right there, handling his business, and Cole Custer winning this race, leading 16 laps. Tyler Reddick, a strong showing, 54 laps led in this one. Let's give you the top 10 rundown. Austin Cindric third, John Nemechek there in the mix again, trying to play spoiler for the second consecutive race, couldn't do it, but finished fourth. Justin Allgaier fifth, Brandon Jones sixth, Matt Tiff still in these playoffs, seventh. Elliott Sadler finished 8th, playoff driver Spencer Gallagher finished 9th, Daniel Hemric in the 10th position, and then Christopher Bell started on the pole and ends up 32nd, oh my goodness. So this will finish this in the 30s, not good for Christopher Bell. So now we're going to flip it to the Xfinity Series playoffs here. Standings here real quick, and that's interesting. But anyway, so here's what we're looking at right now. Cole Custer's in. He is locked in. And then the next guy is Tyler Reddick, Elliott Sadler, and Daniel Hemric. They're right there clumped together. 8 points. Hemric has the last spot right now, and Christopher Bell deep in the hole right now. He's 20 back of Matt Tiff, who's the first guy out, Bell, Allgaier, and of course Austin Cindric. Cindric there, you know, for all what it is, making making his presence felt on the other side of the pillow in these playoffs. He was right there. If Custer and Reddick take each other out, Cindric was right there. So you know, he snuck right in to the pitcher, and he was right there, but not close enough to capitalize as Cole Custer goes past Tyler Reddick and gets a pass through to Miami Center 3-wide NASCAR Podcast EG3. Few minutes until we take that halftime break, and we might have to break this up into sections here. So it's not going to be. So I have developments going on right now, so for whatever reason. So yeah. I'm not too pleased about that, but I'm going to get that taken care of. And when we come back, we'll do the cup side of things here. So when it loads up tonight, it's going to be two-parter on this one. So, yeah, don't even ask. But anyways, that's why I'm trying to manage reading text and things like that. I'm not going to go any more into this situation. We'll just finish this up right here, and we'll take our intermission and then come back and do the cup recap, which, in my opinion, was not that good a race, and I'll explain why in part two. That's what we're going to call it. But right, to wrap up part one here, Bell, Allgaier, who would have thought it, man? These guys are 200 laps away from not even getting in, and yeah, Bell, he's going to have to win. Yeah, Bell said, you know, we won 6 times this year, you know. Can he pull off a Kevin Harvick? That's the question for Christopher Bell. All that winning, Justin Allgaier's dream season. He's won a ton of races this year. He's on the fences. He's a past winner at ISM, but remember, folks, ISM is a totally different racetrack than what it is. Did a total remodel of it. Now we're going to have the start-finish line right in the middle of turns two and three. And anything can happen, and we have seen it, especially in this Xfinity Series race. And if Reddick has a problem, Sadler, Hemric had a problem, Matt Tiff is a close competitor. Matt Tiff's had a great round of 8 playoffs to this point. He could pounce in there and get it done, so, but he's on a must-win situation. Pretty much everybody is this weekend. Let's not get too cute, Big D. Let's not get too cute in it, and let's just kind of tell it for what it is. You're going to have to go out there and win the race. That's just plain and simple for the truck guys, the spinny guys, and the office, the cup guys. You know, you can't punt your way in. You know, I've said it. You know, it's first race of the session of these playoffs is the key. You don't have a good race or something bad happens to you, then you're in a world of hurt. And these guys that we're going to talk about, that we're talking about, Infinite Crafton, Tiff, Crystal Bellis had a miserable round of eight. All guys had a dismal playoffs overall. And Cindric not having the best of luck either. So those guys, they're going to have to win. Pretty much, it's plain and simple. You win, you're in. You lose, you're out of the championship. For that's plain and simple now. And the next time the Xfinity Series is on, the racetrack will be on Saturday. Let me check that real quick. Pull up the schedule here, Big D, real quick. And bam. All right, so the Wheatland Trusted to Perform 200 ISM Raceway, 3:30 Eastern Time. That's 2:30 Central Time right here in the states of Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas. You know where I sat. And on the West Coast, y'all can figure that out yourselves. So that's what we're looking at in the Xfinity Series race. So there is that information for you guys. Thanks for hanging in there with me on the 3Y NASCAR podcast. Here real quick, we're going to halftime right now. And when we return to the 3Y NASCAR podcast, we're going to stop it right here. Get some music ready for you. When we come back, talk Bill Snyder and, of course, Kevin Harvick on his dominating win at Texas and everything in between. So get ready for that. Part one is in the books. And we'll come back after this intermission. You're listening to 3Y NASCAR podcast on with me, EG3, 3Wide with EG3. We'll be back after this timeout. What's good, everybody? Welcome back to the 3Y NASCAR podcast, the post-playoff reaction of Texas. Eddie Gritter III back with you guys, and thank you for hanging in there with me tonight. Things got squared away, and we can go full throttle back into the Texas recap, all about the latest in the world of NASCAR, Camping World Truck Series Xfinity Series, and of course the Mach Entry NASCAR Cup Series. Thanks, Big D, for helping out as well. And it turns out we're going to have this on one episode as usual, so we got lucky there. So a lot going on my plate during that segment right there, so I apologize if I sounded a little bit off there. But back into play now. Halftime is a wrap. But before we go into the Texas recap and another dominating performance by Kevin Harvick, Bill Snyder Show continues to roll on here in Little Apple, Manhattan, Kansas, saying things that he shouldn't be saying. Yeah, it's been a year of the Snyder comments going all the way back really to the West Virginia game, and it has continued. Everybody's focused on the special teams comment, which included Isaiah Zuber, the wide receiver here for Kansas State Wildcats, and I'm disappointed in that. In that situation, definitely disappointed in that, and yeah, hell yeah, I'm disappointed in that, because one, it makes you look stupid, and two, why, I mean, yes, heat in the moment, but usually Coach Snyder, Bill Snyder, wouldn't say that, but of course he'll stick up with, for his son, Sean Snyder. He's the, Sean Snyder, for those of you who don't know, is the special teams coach for K-State and has been for a very long ass time, all right? And there's been a lot of mumblings over the past that he could be the next head coach, whatever, blah, 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 things like that. But here's the situation we're dealing with. We're not going to a bowl, so don't tell me about that. And college football Saturday was not good. K-State losing by one to a team they should have beat. An extra point missed by Blake Lynch, Mr. Reliable. Hooked an extra point. Lost by that. And special teams was awfully shitty for K-State. And then, of course, Florida lays an egg to Missouri to make things worse. Missouri comes in a swap and whoops Florida's ass. 38-17, excuse me. So, college football Saturday was not good at all for multiple reasons. Now, of course, Sunday was very good via, obviously, depending on what I was watching at, whether it was the Falcons put the beat down on the Redskins or Truex. They're trying to get through, survive, and just get to ISN with a chance to get a ticket to Miami. But look here, you know, the situation, it's bad. It's bad when you call out one of your own teammates and all this other stuff. Yeah, it's definitely a year of frustration for K-State and whatnot. And Big D, for what it is, I mean, I have said this to a couple of folks already. I think they made a big mistake and re-signed Bill Snyder too long a deal. I think Gene Taylor, a athletic director, he has a hard decision to make this offseason. I mean, they're losing people left and right, you know, all these recruits and guys that have been on the team for a while quitting in the middle of the season. You know, that's high school shit right there. And I'm sorry, I'm doing a little swearing on here, but that's the way it is. It's been a frustrating year watching football. Really, all around. We look at the injuries from the Falcons and the frustrating play. Look at the Wildcats, things like that. But this is unacceptable. And you had a family member of Isaiah Zuber. I think it was a sit. I was listening to Wildcat Insider today while on the road. As people know that I spend 90% of the time at work going around doing my thing here in Kansas. Doing my thing, doing deliveries and all that other stuff, but you know, and she contacted the sports director of K-Man 93.9, where John Kurtz, you know, talking about it or messaging people back and forth that, you know, Zuber's not taking them well. This is not what you need to do right now. I don't care if it's a positive environment right now in the Veneer Complex. You know, this team 3-6. You know, what is, you're not riding with us, then get off the boat. Well, for one, you damn sure ain't playing well, so don't give me that bull jive about, you know, hey, you know, we got positive vibes right now, we're 3-6, and all this other BS and all that other stuff. Get off their high horse, man. Do enough talking. Stop with the talking. Just stop it. Stop talking and get results. And for what I said, you know, I have a close friend that goes to church and told him straight up, you ain't going to bowl, bro. 3-6, and you got KU coming in Bill Snyder Family Stadium on Saturday morning. And for what it is, KU could come in here, and with their situation right now, you know, getting rid of David Beatty, he ain't done nothing for him. Getting rid of him, they might have come highly motivated to come in here and beat K-State. Oh Lord, we're gonna have issue if that happens, and you know. That happens. And then you got Texas Tech, who lost their core starting quarterback to a collapsed lung. And then Iowa State looks really good. Tech, though, still, they're still moving the ball and scoring on Oklahoma, even though they lost. So, yeah, all those factors going into one. And I just don't know about this team. This team is two-faced. I mean, yeah, they have all this positive energy and whatnot. But you're 3-6. Come on. I mean, and the way it is right now, they made a mistake. The front office people, y'all made a mistake, and you guys got to look at the future, what's best for the K-State football program. I mean, there's a lot of anticipation right now, and yet we're getting to Kevin Harvick here in a moment on the Through Our NASCAR podcast. But, hey, guys, you gotta make what's best for this program moving forward. I mean, yes, City of Manhattan, Kansas, it's all about football first, right? And everybody's anticipating the basketball team, you know, the way that it is right now, the way we got, you know, our squad is looking really good. And who knows how great it's going to be. But yes, you have this outside circumstances of injuries and whatnot, which worries me 100%. So we don't know how that's going to go, but very excited about that. But on the other side, you got to take care of your football program the way it is. It's down the toilet right now, right now. And I might sound a little PO and all that, but it's true, man. Right now, K-State's got a lot of issues right now. And even through his coaching staff under the bus last week, I mentioned it slightly last week somewhere. If you have not listened to the episodes of 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast from last week, you should get caught up. We will post this in the morning, Wednesday morning, so be on the lookout for that. If you're already currently listening, thank you for hanging in with me. It's been a random night. Let's put it that way. It's been one of those nights. It's been really, Big D, one of those random days, to be honest with you. It's been one of those days that everything doesn't go the way you want it. But, hey, it is what it is. You're going to have those sometimes. So, appreciate y'all for hanging in with me tonight. And one more other thing, and then we'll talk Texas here for a minute. Yeah, K-State's in a lot of trouble on the football side if you let Bill Snyder hang around. In this performance here this year with the snide comments and the other stuff, you know, this prima donna stuff, you will, you know, Bill Snyder's still living in his own world. You know, we want to do this playing stupid conservative football while West Virginia goes on and plays aggressive football in probably one of the best games of the Big 12 this year, knocks off Texas on the road. This is what it is now, football. You know, people want to go out here, and when we saw it a couple weeks ago, Monday Night Football, the Giants, you know, what are you thinking? That's what we're big thing. So what are you thinking? You're going for two. You're right in the mix. You kick a field goal. Stand up call calls you to make that field goal, and you're right there within seven, but Pat Shermer was trying to and this is my standard. I mean, everybody's questioning that, so why are you going for two with, I don't know how many minutes it was like 10 minutes or 11 minutes to go in the game or whatever, and they were playing the Falcons, and of course we beat them due to that stupid strategy, but I just don't think, you know, what it is, it's college football now, we're seeing teams go for it. This is the Doug Peterson style of football, let's go for it on fourth down every time and see what can make hay of it, so there are a lot of questions, unanswered questions to be had, and this has been a frustrating year, and I'm not the athletic director, so I'll leave it at that. And meanwhile, Kevin Harvick left his stamp in Texas again for the second straight year, winning the race, and not only that, but pretty much, if you are a flash alert, if you did not know this already, yeah, Kevin Harvick's a heavy favorite to win the championship. If you have known it already, even pre-playoffs, then you know now by the performance he put down on the field. Harvick doing it, winning. Was it his eighth race this year? Yeah. Yes, it is. Big D, thanks. Shaking his head, yes, eighth win this year. Like I said, I'm all over the place tonight, sorry. But eighth win this year for Kevin Harvick this year. And not only that, but smoking Ryan Blaney on the final restart in overtime to get it done. And Harvick has his ticket to Miami, where he's going to be running for a championship, going for two next weekend in Homestead, Miami. And them cars right now, Ford's world right now, boys and girls. They have speed right now. And I love Mark Trister's comment afterwards, saying that he should pull a Brad Keselowski, say they ain't got enough speed right now, which is pretty evident right now. Even though Martin looked very good at times, of course, the penalty, which could have been really costly, set him back. But Riley, and again, is one of those races. It goes back to Talladega, where something broke on the back end of that race car and somehow pulled up a 23-pace finish. That was the key to him transferring into this. And if Martin Truex Jr. goes to Miami, you'll be looking back at this. I'll be looking back at this race right here saying this could have been much, much worse than what it is. But had a competitive car, but not enough. And then the other big three member, Kyle Busch, was in the back end of the top 10 as well. And then he had handling issues. So Kyle Busch, since that win at Richmond, this has not been the same Kyle Busch that we have seen in the regular season. And Carolyn Mano, I think it was Carolyn Mano or Kyle Petty. You listen to 3Wire NASCAR Podcast with EG3. You're truly in the house, back in the EG3 garage with my man, Big D. It was one of those two that I was listening to earlier today saying that Kyle Busch is a feeder, is a monster in the regular season, and which is true. We've seen it each and every year. Kyle Busch goes out and wins all these races, but when it comes time, crush time, he ain't there to pick up the big check, baby. And you gotta wonder, it's gonna be these two guys, the 18 and the 78, battling for the final spot if somebody from Elliott, Kurt Busch, Clint Bowyer, Eric Almirola goes out here and pulls off the big upset and takes away a spot. So we know for a fact that two of the big three is gonna be in it. We will know after either that 312 or overtime who's going to be that fourth guy it going to Miami to compete for this year's championship. Gotta tell you, Kyle Busch seems to be off, and yeah, he finished second in Kansas, which was he was up there, but not up there running with Kevin Harvick though when we saw him in Kansas City a while back when the playoffs were here in town in Kansas City, not here in Manhattan, Kansas, but in Kansas City, where it was 2 hours away. But, Kyle Busch, gotta wonder, man, and the gap between these two guys, set by three, so, you know, it is what it is now. You gotta outpoint somebody, and who I'm gonna put on top of the list might not who you'd expect, really. Kurt Busch. Kurt Busch was right there with Kevin Harvick throughout the first half of that race, speed-wise, running second, trying to get points and all that. And we talked about in the first half of this episode that you're going to have to win this race. You can't get too cute and try to get stage points. But if the situation changes itself all of a sudden, then especially with Busch or Truex, then yeah, you can go for the points. But you're all must-win mode. All these guys are must-win mode this weekend. It's win or go home. Not literally, but win or be out of, be watching the playoffs, riding around, watching the championship four next weekend. That's who I'm going to put on top of the list. Chase Elliott's second. And what two rounds for Chase Elliott. You know, you win two to three in the round of 12 to get you here. And the first race, you finish in the top 10. He's finishing the top 10 in both these races this round. Also, Chase Elliott finished 6th. I believe he finished 7th last week, 2 weeks ago in Martinsville. And he's got to dig out a deep, big hole. So, yeah, you got to win. And the way that Kyle Busch and Mark Trench Jr. rallied back, and he came in 25 points, MTJ did, and left out 25 points. That's big win. That's a huge win right there. Kyle Busch lost points. So Kyle Busch came in there 46 up. Yep, 46 up. Now, yeah, he lost about 20 points and couldn't get his lap back. Now you're 28 points. That's well within halfway race. Especially you don't get stage points. That's well within striking distance. But again, Kurt Busch, Chase Elliott, Eric Almirola, who had his little adventure with Joey Logano. So Joey Logano made another driver mad here in this round. But apparently, before hopping on to the mic tonight, the two of them made up, apparently discussed their differences of that little incident there of hard racing. And I'm going to get to that here in a moment. But this is what it is. Harvick, we're going all over because Kevin Harvick did what he had to do to win. And, of course, that selfie there with the kid there, that was good. Again, another moment, great moment in 2018. Of course, we've got to go back to Michigan where Kevin took his son, Keelan, on a victory lap. That was awesome. And then here, Harvick grabs one of the fans. That same fan, sorry, I don't know your name, but that same fan, and Ronnie Childress posted this on Twitter, which I caught during my one of my stops. This was the same guy that took a selfie with Rodney Childress. Oh my, what a coincidence. So, I know how Kevin managed that, or it was just coincidence that this guy was going to be one of the best days of this kid's life. He's going to remember this forever. You took a picture with possibly, and yet, yes, we still have two races to go, but when you look at this four team, this super fast team right now of Rodney Childress, Kevin Harvick, this kid's going to be saying, I took a picture with a duo that could possibly win the championship in 2018. That's something you got to remember right there. So, we got unfinished business. We have less than 900 miles here in the 2018 season to figure who's going to be the champion. But that's awesome for that kid right there in the moment to get it done. And to be a part of that, it was something that went viral right there. And that kid, I'm sorry I'm calling that kid, but the name was posted, but I should have wrote it down, and I did not in my notes. So that's my bad on that note. But top 10 real fast, Harvick, 177. And we saw him, he should have won Kansas a couple weeks ago, did not do that. But Harvick just did what he needed to do, and Harvick called his shot on it on his radio show, saying that we're going to win Texas, not Phoenix, which is surprising enough, because at least lately though, Harvick hasn't. Well, he did win earlier this year though, but yeah, looking at the stats between Texas and ISM, he's been untouchable at ISM, and the numbers back that up. Going back in the spring, kicking everybody's butt there. And we've been saying all year on this podcast, Kevin Harvick kicking everybody's ass. The Harvicking reaps itself in the postseason. And Harvick should have at least three more wins, or at least two more wins in these playoffs. But due to not executing on pit road, which is going to be the big issue going into championship race next weekend, Harvick on the board here in these playoffs, Blaney leading 40 laps, your pole sitter for this one. Ryan Blaney, who smoked Harvick on the other restart, but obviously couldn't hold the lead. And then Kevin Harvick repaid the favor on Ryan Blaney there, smoking him and checking out. Joey Logano finished third. And at one point, we saw the Pitsy cars, 1, 2, 3. Keselowski led some laps. Logano continues his postseason surge, leading laps. He finishes third. Count it, Big D. 54 laps for Logano. So Ford, 1, 2, 3. And obviously, they're going to have two Fords in Ford Championship weekend. Eric Jones having himself another nice race, finishing the fourth spot. Kyle Larson finished in the fifth position. EJ, that Jones boy, your lead non-playoff driver in this race at Texas. Kurt Busch, I skipped over Chase Elliott. Okay, Chase Elliott for the sixth playoff driver. Kurt Busch, seventh playoff driver. Eric Almirola, playoff driver, eighth. Martin Truex Jr., a huge rally with a top five car numerous times in this race. Ninth for MTJ. And Austin Dillon coming home in the 10th spot. I mentioned Brad Keselowski finished in the 12th position in this race. Kyle Busch, 17th. Losing spots there. Could not get that lap back due to issues with the car. And then Clint Bowyer. Oh, my. We have not gone. We're, some 50-plus minutes into this thing. And we have not mentioned Clint Bowyer's name. That's why. Because lap one, contact with Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin's day was pretty much done. And Clint Bowyer, another rough afternoon in the round of eight for Clint Bowyer. It went on, what the hell, for Bim Bowyer finishing in the Bowyer 26. Clint Bowyer, and yeah, you're in must-win mode. So it's Almirola, like 70 point out. So, yeah, Bowyer, must-win mode. Almirola, must-win mode. Kurt Busch, must-win mode. Chase Elliott, must-win situation as well. So, yeah, you're looking at those four and the big three. Here we go. Harvick automatically is in Can Kyle Busch finish the deal? Can Truex finish the deal and lock themselves in? We will find out on Sunday to decide the championship four, or will somebody else rise to the occasion and steal the other spot, which put the big three in jeopardy? And this is going to be a race that you're going to keep an eye on here. Kyle Busch, who had a really comfortable lead, now is going to who's breathing down his neck? Martin Truex Jr., three back of him. So definitely the first two stages of this one, yeah, you're racing pretty much for the fourth spot. For them, for right now, I'm gonna leave it as it is. So anything can happen in a cup race. We have seen it, and I still believe for some odd reason that a non-playoff driver is going to step up and win. And I don't know what it is this year, because we've seen it pretty much in the last 3 years of this playoff format that a non-playoff driver steps up and win a race. And I still think that it could happen. And let somebody else in the picture. And if it does, that's going to let the big three walk on in the homestead for a chance at a championship against Penske driver Joey Logano. So, for whatever reason, I still believe that's going to happen. But in a championship race, hell no, it's not going to happen. Because the pattern is, you win the race, you win a championship. That's plain and simple. And obviously, Kevin Harvick, way in a different zip code right now. And Joey Logano, I think Joey Logano is creeping up in Harvick territory. He's led a crap load of laps here. Mentioned 409 last week. You add 45 more to that equation. He's led over 450 laps the last three races. Go back to Kansas City, Martinsville, and now here, Logano peaking. Just at the right, perfect time if you're to run for a championship. To do that, you got to go up front, qualify good, lead laps, do what you have to do, and Logano's done that. And oh, by the way, yes, this is true fact. You want proof? I can show it to you, right? I'll tweet it out to you right now. Thanks for tuning in to the 3Y NASCAR Podcast, EG3 here with you guys on the post-playoff reaction of Texas. We had a little bit of a rough start in the first half. We got things sorted out, and we're rolling through Texas like Kevin Harvick did this past weekend. But back to Logano for a second. Logano, I picked Logano in NASCAR Fantasy, in one of my fantasy lineups, to be the champion. The other one, of course, Martin Truex Jr. In my first one, Martin Truex Jr. The other one, Joey Logano. So, you want proof? I'll tweet it to you. So, I'm not making this up. Proof? I'll tweet it to you. Logano, champion, and Martin Truex Jr., champion. How ironic is that? Those two battling one another at Martinsville a couple weeks ago. And if Martin Truex Jr. survives ISM, we're going to be looking at an exciting battle once again for the championship. But unfinished business still here. Nothing ain't guaranteed yet. And I'm going to say it again. Nothing isn't guaranteed just yet in this one. And, of course, fourth quarter here real quick. And, yeah, Big D, thanks. And we'll have a reminder again that the Wheeldon Trusted, no, that's the Xfinity Series, excuse me, the Can-Am 500, decide the Championship Four, the rest of the Championship Four bracket, this Sunday on NBC, 3:30 Eastern Time, 2:30 Central Time, to set the field. Can anybody step up outside the cut line? Or we will see the big three punch their ticket, the rest of the big three punch their tickets to Miami and battle Harvick and Logano for this year's championship. You're listening to 3Y NASCAR Podcast EG3. And I wanted to talk about the NASCAR communication on Jimmy Johnson here. Big no-no. And I didn't know about this until a few laps into the start of the race, that Jimmy Johnson went to the back of the field due to apparently what NASCAR officials say, that he failed tech three times when he did fail it only twice, passed the third time, and still, though, Jimmy Johnson had a start in the rear of the field due to that. And NASCAR is very fortunate that Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus is not in the playoffs anymore. I would be pissed if in that situation. I'd still be pissed start back there. I mean, anything can happen from the back. If you can get caught up in somebody's mess. We've seen it over and over in these NASCAR races from time in, time out. We've seen this over and over, that you guys get in trouble. So You know, Steve O'Donnell, big thumbs down on that situation. Yeah, you're going to get the blame, and yeah, he stood up for it. But, yeah, on all fronts, cannot do that. Officials get double the amount of thumbs down in this case. You cannot do that. You have one job to get it right, and it did not get it right. And the 48 team, very fortunate. This would have been a bigger story than what it is. If the 48 team is still in the plus, obviously they were eliminated early at the Roval. But yeah, fortunate for them. And of course, yeah, speaking of the 48, yeah, they got only two races to get a win. And I don't see that happening. Obviously, I said it here and there on the Throughout NASCAR podcast. Yeah, they're not winning. Denny Hamlin, you know, for all the success at Homestead and whatnot, I don't see them winning either unless, you know, they win Phoenix. Phoenix, that's the only race I see the 11 team winning, and that's why I still have a little bit of hope there, because, you know, he ran very well at Martinsville. Yeah, I mean, there are different tracks there, except a little bit bigger on ISM, and I'm very excited to see the layout of ISM with the whole rejuvenation of the start-finish line in between those two turns, two and three, and those grandstands. So they really did a project job. And we're going to see a big crowd out there this weekend for all those races. Hopefully we see a big crowd, because this is one of the biggest races of the season. And you do not want to miss a moment this weekend. All three divisions in the ISM stage now. And we will know pretty much, except for the exception of the Xfinity Series, we know that Cole Custer is in the field. If you missed it earlier, Cole Custer, rally back. Strategy game, played a strategy game, and took home the checkered flag on Tyler Reddick. Cole Custer, who kicked everybody's ass in the Xfinity race last year in the finale at Homestead. Oh, yeah. If Bell and All Guy don't make it, but you got to look at Cole Custer as a favorite. Why not? Everybody says Kyle Larson going to be the favorite at Homestead, but what has Kyle Larson done? He ain't made it past the second two rounds in the last couple years, so he ain't gonna be much threat at all. Of course, you know, yeah, he's led laps and all this and that, and it has affected the championship four, but he's backed off, especially late because of that. Because if Kyle Larson is a part of that championship four in the laps that he's led in the past several years, then he could be, we could be possibly talking him being champion. Yeah, I said it, but he's not there. He's not there this year, so he's not going to be in the picture, even though he could be playing spoiler. But Cole Custer in the field, in the championship four field in the Xfinity Series, and it's still wide open with the points gap between Reddick, who had his chance, and probably really Tyler Reddick. That's probably his best run, in my opinion, all season long. Yeah, he has a win at Daytona back in the season premiere, but Reddick, awesome job for him, but he's in position. Elliott Sadler's in position. And Daniel Hemric is still in position. And Daniel Hemric, he's won a stages in the last two Xfinity playoff races, yet still hasn't gotten the big one yet. So there is that situation. And then Matt Tiff, outside of cut line right now. And Bell, Allgaier, must win situation. And with that situation, only one of them can go to Homestead. Wow. And then the possibility of having none of them at Homestead. This championship could be wide open in the Xfinity Series. Obviously, at Camping World Truck Series, two tickets have been punched with GMS teammates Johnny Sauter and Justin Haley. In the Cup Series, two tickets have been punched here. Harvick delivering, obviously doing what he's been doing all year long, is taking teams by the throat and putting them down. And then last week, Joey Logano with the bump and run 2 weeks ago on Truex Jr. to get his ticket. So halfway there. So the rest of the tickets will be decided this weekend. Oh, man. Anxious to see all the action unfold this weekend. Yeah, and here now, real quick, I'll dive into a little more this week. But, of course, the picks. Back real quick. College football, 5-3. And then NFL, undefeated this weekend, baby. 4-0. Of course, plus the win. I did not think that Atlanta would pull that, what they did against the Washington. I seriously thought we're going to have hands full than that, but that team was laser focused and did what they needed to do. And I picked the Chargers over the Seattle Seahawks, was happening. Of course, the Patriots took care of the Packers, and the New Orleans Saints handed the Rams its first loss. It's all on tape, live from last week. You can go back and listen. You have not listened to it? Go back and listen to it. I said on the podcast, 4-0 on the NFL side, 5-3, Big D, in the college side, which adds up 5-3 for the second consecutive week in the college side, which adds up to doing the math, trying to do the math in my head, I think 14-3, if not mistaken, 10, 11, 12, 13, yes, sir, 14-3 for last week, so hell yeah, man, great, that's awesome, man, so usually I don't get that lucky when predicting those types of games, but it was a great weekend. But like I said, college football stunk, though, with my teams, though, not winning, but nationally, though, pick-wise, great, so there's that as well. I'll dive and explain more this weekend, but before we sign off tonight on the Throughout NASCAR podcast, let's give out EG3 helmet stickers this week, and I got a lot of them on tap. Justin Haley, Austin Hill, Harrison Burton, Cole Custer, Tyler Reddick, EG3 helmet stickers. And of course, on the Cup side, I got three more: Kevin Harvick, Ryan Blaney, and the three of Austin Dillon get EG3 helmet stickers from Texas this week. So yeah, a bunch of them handed out this week. Haley, Hill, Burton, Custer, Reddick, Harvick, Blaney, and Dillon, Austin Dillon, EG3 helmet stickers this week. And follow me at 3Wide_FastEddie again on Twitter, at 3Wide_FastEddie. And if you have not subscribed to the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, well, you better get on it here before the end of the year. And it's not too far now. This weekend, next week is it. And of course, we're going to have some off-season content and planning on doing that as well. iTunes, Audioboom, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play. Yeah, you know what it is. Apple Podcasts, get on it. 3Wide with EG3, NASCAR Podcast, get on it here. We are down to two more races to go in all three divisions. And we're going to be deciding this weekend. We will decide the rest of the Championship 4 brackets here this weekend. Don't want to miss a moment. And yeah, folks, join the movement on a 3Wide NASCAR Podcast EG3, where we're going 3Wide for sure this weekend, ISM with all the divisions. And we're going to be seeing a lot of 3Wide, no pun intended, 3Wide at ISM, maybe more than that on that dog leg going to the finish line. It's going to be really interesting, and the trucks are going to set the table for that. What an action-packed show. Again, thank you for bearing with me through the first half of the podcast. There, it was a little hectic right there, but we got things sorted out, and this is the normal, usual 1 hour, or we're pretty much over that 1 hour again. So but anyways, though, but we got it in, and we're fortunate to get it in, and so that is that right there. Do not miss a moment, and we will be back this weekend to set the table again for you this week for these races coming up. And of course, we'll have more picks this weekend, and if any more news breaks out, of course, we will jump on that as well. But ladies and gentlemen, Big D, let's shut this thing down. 3Wide NASCAR podcast post-playoff reaction of Texas is a wrap this evening. Thank you, Big D, for your work tonight, and yes, thanks for sticking with me on that. And for now, Eddie Greer III saying thank you, big thanks to all of you who have been following the show all year long, who've been in and out, or whatever. Thank you for listening, and yes, it's important for me, not for the fame, but to get this podcast out there. We're representing the Midwest here in the Little Apple of Manhattan, Kansas, doing it big. Oh, yeah, we're going to do it even more bigger here if things stand like it is right now. But we're on pins and needles right now. I'm just ready to get to ISM and see what the weekend in store is for us. Obviously, my driver is still in the thick of things in the Cup side, trying to get back to Miami to defend that championship from last year. So very excited to see. Very intriguing weekend this weekend in NASCAR. Can't wait soon enough, really, for the weekend to get here. But for now, we out of the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Y'all know what it is. Congratulations to the winners this weekend from Texas, which included, once again, big thanks, shout-outs, Justin Haley in the Championship 4 in the Truck Series, Cole Custer in the Championship 4 race in the Xfinity Series race, and Kevin Harvick doing Kevin Harvick things in the Championship 4 next week in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. We out.
NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Be sure to stay tuned for next episode. Who's moving on and who will be left out? Catch us next time going 3 wide.